top of the table, that's exciting. Bottom of the table, that's exciting. Like, that's the sort of football that you want to be. And these are the pressure games that in 15, 20 years' time, I will look back on and I will remember these are the important matches for me, not the middle of the table teams.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Andy Mitten is with us to talk about Manchester United now. Andy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's really hard to know where to start because there are so many. It's kind of whack-a-mole at Man United at the moment. As you think a little bit of progress is happening, there's definitely steps backwards. Alan Shearer in The Athletic is saying the club is badly run and this is them essentially reaping the whirlwind of that. It's hard to argue with that, but in the short term, in the immediate short term, are there any signs of improvement for United fans to hold on to?
If you watch the first half of matches, there's lots of signs of improvement. And if you switch the TV off or leave the stadium at half time, then you'll walk away feeling quite happy with the world if you're a Manchester United fan. The problem in the last three matches has been coming in the second half. It's a question I put to Ralf Rangnick before the game against Southampton on Saturday. Another draw, another game where United led 1-0, played well in the first half and just dipped off in the second half. And he knows. But getting his players to act out what he's asking them to do is proving more difficult. When he speaks, he's very cogent, he's very frank, and I appreciate that. I think most Manchester United fans do as well, but the mood is always set by results, and Manchester United's results have not been good enough. United are fifth in the league table. Fortunately for United, the teams around them are even worse at the moment, at least most of them are, but 40 points after 24 games, that's six less than a year ago. The team was scoring a lot less and it wasn't supposed to be like this after United finished second last year, after they brought in the players that they did ahead of this season. And it's just very frustrating for fans to see the team play so well, and Middlesbrough should have been put out of sight in the FA Cup. Same with Burnley last week at Turf Moor. And while Southampton were better than both of those two previous opponents, and their manager quite rightly argued that they were worthy of a point, it's Southampton at Old Trafford. Manchester United, with all that attacking talent, really should be beating them.
So what happens now for the rest of the season? Like, where does the uptick in form come that would at least secure Champions League football next season?
They're going to draw every game between now and the end of the season 1-1 and finish 10th. It feels like that sometimes. It's so frustrating at the moment. Where does the uptick come? I don't think anybody can answer that. At Burnley last week after the game, I spoke to Pete Molyneux. Pete was the guy who is a lifelong fan. He's the guy who raised the 3 years of excuses ta-ra Fergie banner in 1989. And he's followed United since the 50s, 60s. And one of the things he said was, he's seen this club turn many corners, but one thing he's learned is you never know when that corner's going to be turned. You never know when it's coming. And I thought that was quite interesting. And when you look at United with all the talent that they have in the team, I'm an optimist. I always go into a game watching Manchester United thinking that the team will win. And that can vanish after 5 minutes, and often has done this season. And the reality is we're two-thirds of the way through 21-22, and Manchester United are fifth, out of the FA Cup, out of the League Cup, still in the Champions League. So that's something to look forward to. Trip to Madrid next week against Atletico. Manchester United are taking a big following there. Everyone's looking forward to that. And I don't blame fans. It's a really exciting tie. And Atletico are just as bad or just as good as Manchester United at the moment. They're also in fifth with a very similar points total. Fans look for, like, well, if this player comes back, we'll be better. If this player is signed, we'll be better. It just doesn't work like it. It hasn't been working like that. And Manchester United have consistently failed to equal the sum of their parts. And if you look at Southampton, they're the opposite. They bring lots of players through the youth system. They sell players on. They've got a more identifiable style of football. And they drew both games against United this season. United really need to be finishing in the top four. But as Ralf Rangnick said, that's looking difficult at the moment. I still think United will finish fourth. I'm not going to be celebrating that. That shouldn't be a marker of success for a club like Manchester United. But that's where we are at the moment. And what does fourth mean? It means Champions League next season. But United are not going to win that because, well, unless you have a freak run, which you can get in cup competitions, and maybe it's that hope that kills. But the team are all over the place at the moment. And you said at the start, where do we start with this? You can look at the midfield, you can look at the forwards, you can look at the lack of goals, you can look at the number of goals conceded from free kicks, the number of goals not scored from corners. There's issues all over the place. I do think that Ralf Rangnick is having some success. I think the football has been pretty good against Southampton first half, Burnley, Middlesbrough. But if the team are not winning at the end of it, and against pretty moderate opponents as well, this isn't against Liverpool or City or Chelsea. And they've all got to come. And we know what happened in the autumn. That saw to the end of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer when those teams beat Manchester United pretty convincingly.
You say that you're an optimist, Andy, and then all the things you said after that would suggest that you'd have every reason to not be an optimist. Are Manchester United fans starting to change that optimism a little bit? Are people of a sunnier disposition now getting, I guess, dragged down by what's been happening over the last little while? Because this does seem like it is a situation with no end in sight at the moment.
Yeah, it seemed like that for years. What is a Manchester United fan? I'm sure people listening or watching this will have a whole variety of opinions. There'll be pessimists, there'll be optimists, there'll be people blaming this player, that player, the manager, the owners, whoever. And everyone's entitled to that opinion. I still think that there are very good players there. And when Edinson Cavani starts a game, I'm happier than when he doesn't. I thought that first half against Burnley without Ronaldo. In fact, both first halves against Burnley, because he only played them at Old Trafford in December, was really encouraging. But this is Burnley. Burnley have won one game in the league so far this season. This was supposed to be a season where Manchester United went toe-to-toe with the best, put a proper title challenge in. So it is all so deflating. And if I've sounded a little bit pessimistic, maybe that's because my sister and her husband and their kids have stayed with us. He's a Manchester City fan, a proper one, who's gone for years. Their kids are Manchester City season ticket holders. I'm still disgusted that my sister allowed this situation to happen. But it did happen. And then we had a situation at the weekend where he's telling me how good City are as they beat Norwich. I'm obviously annoyed because Manchester United have not beaten Southampton. And then just for good measure, Manchester City's ladies team win the Manchester female women's derby as well. So my sister just looked at me on Saturday night and said, well, at least you've got your health. And I'll cheers for that. That's some consolation. But this is the life of a football fan. You invest a lot into your team emotionally, and you're high when your team are winning and playing well, and less so when that's not happening. And I think on balance, Manchester United fans have had years and years of success, although there's now a generation of very young fans who can't really recall them winning the league.
On a serious note, do you think that will begin to have an impact on how Manchester United manage the club? Because it did seem that for a while there, it was tantamount for them to be able to reach that generation, regardless of being able to show them pictures of Paul Pogba holding a Premier League trophy. It was just the sheer size of Manchester United, the reach all around the world that the profile of the club had. At what point do you think that their lack of success will begin to have a commercial drawback for everybody involved in the club?
I think it's really interesting because you can argue very strongly that when teams are successful, they undoubtedly pick up glory hunters. Manchester United picked up millions of glory hunters or younger fans. So I think when fans are age, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they would go for the most attractive team, or some of them would. And there are many exceptions to this, because if you're in Burnley, it's full of Burnley fans. And I think that is great. And yet, when Manchester United were winning nothing, were still the best supported team season after season. And when Liverpool were winning nothing, I remember Liverpool playing a pre-season friendly in Melbourne in 2014, I think it was. They just finished seventh. 95,000 people are there. Liverpool are massive. And of course, Liverpool have got a good team and a good manager now. So I don't think it just wears off quickly. And I think that if you look at the engagement of a story involving Manchester United against one with Manchester City, it's like 8, 9, 10 times as big. And maybe you'll know that from at your end on the coverage that both teams get in the Republic of Ireland. But City clearly commercially are becoming more successful the bigger they are. The demographic of football fans is also changing. It's becoming very, very globalised. And the Premier League is watched in huge numbers in countries like Nigeria, India, Indonesia. I get loads of messages from South America. So it's really interesting. But I think United is this really dramatic soap opera a lot of the time, and it pulls people in. But yeah, of course I worry. And I remember Liverpool books selling really well maybe 10 years ago, and it seemed that Liverpool fans, because the present wasn't so good, they looked towards the history and they bought books in huge numbers. They outsold Manchester United books by a distance. And I can see now that United fans are dipping back into history more and more. And that frustrates fans again, because the present isn't as good as it should be. But then this is the reality for most football fans. Most football fans do not support teams who win everything, anything. There can only be one league champion, one FA Cup winner. But Manchester United have completely underwhelmed since 2013. And not only that, squandered £1 billion on indifferent, ineffective recruitment. So it hasn't been good enough, and that concerns fans.
Just on that point, and I'm interested in your sense of what the evolution is next, because a big play was made of the fact that the football brains are young and slightly inexperienced, and they were central in getting Ranić involved. And the two-year deal for Ranić would suggest that he will have some involvement in structures and policies. I don't know if that includes recruitment. Like, what's the sense of where that part of the club is going and how well they're doing in terms of imposing what's coming next? Like,
depends who you ask at the club. To me, I see everything as being in a state of flux. I think it's a fluid situation where Ralf Rangnick, if he leads Manchester United to the Champions League this year, improbable as that may sound, his stock will be so high that he will have power bestowed to him, because he'll be seen as someone who's made reforms and it's worked. If United carry on as they are doing and are disappointing, then there will be less appetite to listen to his pearls of wisdom, and more people saying, well, he's only actually coached a team for 2 years in the last 10, et cetera, et cetera. So it's quite a complex makeup at the moment. And there are power shifts, there are power vacuums, there are people leaving the club, not just on the football side. The comms director is going to leave. And he's been there for 3.5 years. So Richard Arnold has come in as well, because Ed Woodward left only a couple of weeks ago. So politically, United is changing in terms of its structure as well. But it is all about results. I think Richard Arnold will demand that the football side is performing and be quite hard on the people making those decisions. And I think everyone will get a chance to make a decision. People like John Murta, who decided along with Darren Fletcher that Ralf Rangnick was the man, and if he does well as the man, then more power to his elbow, and if he doesn't, then less power to his elbow. So when the team is successful, there's many people looking to take a share of that credit, and the opposite is also true, and that affects the mood with everything. The next manager has not been appointed yet. United have got their favoured candidates, and now is the time when there's back channel diplomacy, if you like, where United will be sounding out people, are you interested? Other managers will be offering themselves as well. And Ralf Rangnick's view will be taken into account. But I think for him at the moment, his priority is to get United into a top four.
Who's signing players? Because obviously you don't sign a player in the summer without having made the plans now, put the money in place, decided how much you're going to spend, done all the scouting and how they're going to fit into the system of whatever your manager actually wants. So who's making those decisions?
Well, who's the manager? Who's going to be? It's tricky, isn't it? Because United have got the targets for next season. But what if a new manager comes in and says, well, they're actually not my target? So who is signing them? Well, you've got the football structure, and you've got people like John Murta and Darren Fletcher. And we'll use the word committee, but there's a lot of football brains there. And in the past, they have voted on whether a player should come in or not come in. The manager would have the final say on that, but the manager can't possibly be watching a fullback at wherever, or a midfielder or an attacker wherever every single week. So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had his own personal scout, for example, but he's obviously left the club. So I said it was in a state of flux, and that much remains true. United have got their targets, but who decided them targets? I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would have been part of that. And then you have the market where I'm still baffled as to who signed Donny van de Beek, because I feel that he was offered to the club at a time at a good price and at a time when United fans were demanding players. But I'm just not convinced in this model of if we buy one more player, everything will be okay. If we buy two more players, everything will be okay. I'm sick of this cycle. I've been through it so many times where new managers come in and continue to come in and say, oh, this is terrible. And privately, this is terrible. We've got to rip it all up and start again. I'm not convinced that everything does need to be ripped up and started again, nor am I convinced that in just buying big names, because they're big names and they excite fans. I think United fans have been suckers for punishment there. And me too. You know, I was excited when Bastian Schweinsteiger signed, but I wasn't watching him every week in the Bundesliga. And I was excited when Cristiano Ronaldo signed as well. That's part of the emotion of being a football fan. But I could argue equally strongly as to whether that is a good or bad move. So who's signing the players for next season? I think John Murta, Darren Fletcher, certainly football-led decisions as opposed to executives making the decisions. But these agents have to have contacts with individuals at Manchester United. So I think that's not with Richard Arnold, whereas it would have been with Ed Woodward. So you've still got some of the old people there. Matt Judge is a negotiator. He would be the go-to for many of the agents, and they might call him and say, hi, Matt, I represent X player. Are you interested? And he might say, not for us at the moment, or yes, I'm interested, or just keep us up to date, keep us in the loop on it. So that's how it works. And United have got a budget, and that budget was spent at the start of this season when Ronaldo came as well. And there's one reason why United didn't sign anyone in the transfer window, but loan some players out because they had too many players. The wage bill was too high.
And that is like the billion and the squandering of that is going to be one of those stories that is a long chapter or many multiple chapters in the book whenever the corner does get turned and people can look back with a bit of, I don't know, whatever sense they will have of this era. Two last questions for you. The Brighton game. Every game now is a massive game. These games are all cup finals. It's a Brighton team who are in decent form and who are actually only 7 points behind United with the game in hand. So if they were to win this, they'd suddenly be closing in on Manchester United, which is not what United fans expected. So an opportunity for them to put things right.
Yeah, but we could have said the same thing last week, the week before, the week before, the week before. It's same old, same old. Yeah, Brighton are decent. They're certainly in better form than they were before the game. This game was scheduled for, I think it was December the 18th. It was one of the games which was cancelled because of COVID. United have got a very intense block of fixtures after that two-week break recently before the Middlesbrough game. And people at the club felt it was a good start into those fixtures to be playing a championship team at home, to be playing Burnley away, then Southampton, because the biggies are coming against Atletico Madrid. The games are getting gradually harder. So Brighton, in theory, should be more difficult than Southampton. And Manchester United need to be winning these matches. But I'm saying the same thing every single week. I'm sick of hearing the sound of my own voice because United continue. I just wouldn't be surprised if they started really well against Brighton, led 1-0 at half-time and then drew 1-1 and we have the same conversation next time you ring me. And in Europe, and that Atletico game, that is a bigger game because it's the Champions League and Atletico Madrid. I watch a lot of Spanish football as well. They've been just as frustrating to their fans as Manchester United fans have been this season. So which of those teams can be worse? Because one of them's got to go through and it's not going to be decided on penalties.
Barcelona derby was last night, Espanyol versus Barca. Xavi has yet to impose a playing style that people would, I think, expect from him. But certainly he seems to be getting a response in terms of the old spirit anyway.
Yeah, he does. He's talking about a style, but the evidence I'm seeing, and I watch quite a lot of Barcelona, is more about what you're saying. It's that never say die spirit. They've been getting lots of late goals. 96-minute equaliser at Cornellà last night against Espanyol. Espanyol felt really hard done to after the game at Camp Nou earlier on in the season. And I think they deserve to beat Barca. They played really well and their fans were going crazy. It was going to be the first time they'd beaten Barca in their new stadium, which opened in 2009 with Xavi. He's bringing players in. I do think he's making some progress. This isn't the doom scenario at the start of the season when players were just being offloaded and offloaded. Barcelona have borrowed some money. They brought some players in. Fans are now back in the stadium. They play Napoli in the Europa League. That's this week, actually. In fact, I'm going. Better get my acts in order. I've got a lot of big games in February with all the European stuff. And I think if Barca could win the Europa League, the finals in Seville, a place where they famously lost the 1986 European Cup final against Steaua, fans, they've had this massive drop-off, but I think they would accept this season a top-four finish and winning the Europa League. Sound a little bit like Manchester United, don't they? But they brought good players. I think there's lots of really good young players. Gavi's fantastic. He's 17 years old, one of the best players against Espanyol. Pedri. Traore was Barcelona's best player against Espanyol. Really strong and powerful down the right. Luke de Jong, a derided figure, but he keeps on scoring. I think it's fantastic. People were saying, never good enough, never Barca class. And he probably isn't. Get rid of him now. But then he keeps scoring goals. So I love it that football throws up these little storylines. And he scored a great goal to equalise in the 96th minute against Espanyol.
Andy, good stuff. Great to have you with us. Enjoy the trips. Cheers.
Thank you. Take care.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.